Welcome back to The Roll. Today we have a fun video with Zucky, Nick White, SK, Rod, and myself talking about the origin story of the Celestine Sloth collection, a collection which has gone up about 300-400x since the One Tia Mint a month ago and has kind of garnered this modular community collection rank in the NFT world. We talked a lot about the origin story, how this idea came about, why Zucky has been so passionate about modularity and Celestia over the past couple of years, whether or not Nick's going to change his PFP, whether we're going to get modular bodies, future plans, Sloth token, and more. Hope you guys enjoy. Let's jump right in after a quick word from some of our lovely sponsors.
Cartesi is the home of app-specific rollups. Cartesi is at the forefront of developing new tools and platforms that enhance the capabilities of blockchain technology, enabling developers to build more complex and efficient applications. Cartesi offers developers the tools to build on a full Linux environment. This access allows the use of traditional software stacks in blockchain application development, leading to more robust and versatile applications. Cartesi provides the infrastructure for app-specific rollups, which include a Linux runtime.
Fuel achieves higher throughput by utilizing a novel UTXO-based approach that allows for parallelized execution. This design significantly accelerates transaction processing, which enables Fuel to handle vastly more transactions than non-parallelized systems. Thanks to advancements introduced by Fuel, Ethereum rollups are set to be more powerful than ever before. And Fuel is not just enhancing Ethereum rollups, it's redefining them, making them faster, more scalable, and more adaptable to meet the needs of modern applications and developers. Go to fuel.network, that's fuel.network, to learn how to build on the Rollup OS.
Welcome back to The Rollup. Today we have a very lazy podcast with some fellow sloths. We're going to jump right into it. SK, Zucky, and Nick, and of course, Rob. Welcome in, guys. I would love to hear about a quick intro as to who you are and your presence in the Sloth community. And then we have a lot of community questions today. So why don't we start with you, SK, and then move down the line to Zucky and Nick. Welcome in, guys.
Howdy. Thanks. My name is Steven. I was the artist on Sloth Project. And I do a bunch of other work in the NFT space.
Notably After the Filter. Also on Stargaze.
Nice. Welcome in. Zucky and Nick, welcome in as well.
I'll go first. Zucky, well-known NFT influencer. That's my primary role now. I've been working on Cosmos for a decade and working on Celestia since 2019. And, worked with Steve to create the Sloth NFT. One thing that we haven't done a higher level thing is I think a lot of people who listen will know what the sloths are, but maybe we could quickly just do an introduction to the sloths. The Celestine Sloth Society is an NFT collection on Stargaze. It was basically a fair launch among all Tia stakers, and we can go into more details on the launch, but it cost one Tia to mint. And then it became the second largest collection on in terms of value and volume on Stargaze within a few days after launch. And it has become like a part of the discourse around modularity, the modular community, and all of these things. And so, the purpose of, we're doing this podcast to maybe like, I think a lot of there hasn't been like a retrospective on the Sloth launch or on any of these things. So kind of trying to make this a little bit more accessible. I'm Zucky. Worked with Steve on creating Sloths. The idea of doing an NFT collection with Sloths was my idea. And I run the Discord and everything for the community and run the Twitter and stuff like that. So, eventually probably need to find someone else who will make this their job, but right now it's me.
Awesome, I'll go next. Well, lazy morning to all the listeners out there. It's actually morning here in Hawaii. Got my bed in the background. You can tell I've been sleeping a lot. I'm Nick, I'm the COO at Celestia Labs. And Celestia is the first modular blockchain network. And originally it was actually called Lazy Ledger, which I think is an important piece of context for this whole, you know, Sloth story, is that Celestia is a lazy blockchain. It doesn't do any execution or smart contracts on the layer one. It just does data publishing or data availability and consensus. So it's like the most minimal lazy chain you can build. And it turns out that laziness is a superpower. So by being modular and by being hyper-focused on just data availability, Celestia gives you all these new kinds of benefits. If you're a developer, you have more freedom to, you know, choose your own execution environment. You have control over the economics of your chain. You can launch a chain extremely easily without bootstrapping your own consensus network. And, you know, you also get a lot of scalability through data availability sampling. So anyway, laziness for the win, and excited to be here and unpack more about the Sloth.
So Steven, you get approached by Zucky, assumedly so, with this idea to create a community of NFTs. This is shortly after Celestia's price has had a crazy run, is kind of pulling back. People are asking me if Modular March is canceled. People are telling me that I'm wrong on Modular, and that the kind of sentiment is roughly at some of the all-time lows following a pretty big launch. Now, you get approached with this idea to make an NFT collection, and you guys come to the idea of Sloths. What's going on in your mind and kind of in your artistic thought process here to kind of build this out as a Sloths?
Well, I mean, for me, I've been wanting to do like a very kind of traditional PFP style project for a while, and didn't have, you know, I don't know, I didn't have the right timing lined up. And then when Zucky and I started talking about it, it seemed like this was going to be like a perfect kind of window where I had some time to work on it. I had a bunch of ideas about what I wanted to do. And, you know, it really had this kind of community that was like really ready for this type of project. So, you know, it's exciting just to know when you're working on a project that, you know, there's going to be an audience for it. I certainly didn't realize the audience was going to be so excited about it. But that's probably good. I mean, I think that we tend to do our best work kind of in a vacuum. You know, I really am always like trying to find projects that are fun and engaging on their own and not worrying a ton about, you know, how people are going to feel about the small details, and kind of allow myself to get like lost in the work itself. And then, you know that out there somewhere there's an audience for it, and you just hope that it lands.
And Zucky, how did this idea come to be? How much of an inspiration was the Lazy Ledger white paper, and ultimately, like, how did you land on Sloths?
Yeah. I mean, I think the history, there's a long history here, which is, so, you know, I remember like Mustafa's original paper, Lazy Ledger, like a long time ago. I actually sent Adrian and Awa, who are the founders of Anoma, they were working at Tendermint at the time, and I actually sent them to go meet with Mustafa. I wasn't able to go to London at the time. Ishmael, who ended up co-founding Celestia, also a close friend. So I really like a lot of touch points to all of this stuff. I really liked the vision. In fact, one of the things that I really like about Celestia is, and really liked about Lazy Ledger was, it is actually the original, it's very similar to the original idea for Cosmos that Jay and Ethan originally pitched to me back in 2016. So there was this thing called Super Tanker. And Super Tanker was like the original Cosmos concept. And it was very similar to this idea of, you know, you would have like one host chain and you would post transactions and hashes, but we didn't have a solution for data availability sampling. So it had really bad scaling properties. And then I was always on the lookout for somebody who was going to solve this. And then I was like, Mustafa, who I had previously been paying attention to because of his, like activism and hacking work. We have been fellow travelers in that space a little bit too. had been like, I was like, oh, okay, this is really cool. And then, so Lazy Ledger. And then one of the first things I remember Nick and I worked on together, when Nick started working on Lazy Ledger, was rebranding Lazy Ledger to Celestia. Because Celestia, Lazy Ledger, it was something I loved a lot, and I thought it was a really cool name and everything, but like, could not raise money. Nobody wanted to own a Lazy token, Lazy Ledger token. You know, it was like, it was a big struggle, right? Like, people just like, and like, Nick was one of the few people, was one of the people who like really got the vision early on. And so, you know, we rebranded it, but I was always kind of sad, you know, that like Lazy Ledger just kind of like went into the dustbin of history. And I was like, what, there's gotta be some way of, and so like, what's a lazy animal? Sloths. Sloths have always been very memeable. I really liked it. I was somewhat jokingly for a while advocating that Tia be sloth as the token. Nobody really wanted to go for that either. But I was like, screw it. You know, I'm going to bring back the Lazy Ledger thing. I'm going to create like a cultural reference point. And I don't know, I felt like it would work, but it was like, yeah, it was very much the collaboration with like me and Steve working on it. And like lots of other people contributed ideas along the way, you know, to get us all here. And also, you know, huge, huge shout out to the Stargaze team. The other thing I will say is very few people believed in this idea. And like believed how big it could be. A lot of people on the Celestia team who knew it was coming did not mint it. Right? Like the because we were like, you know, it's, you know, and like honestly, I didn't expect it to blow up so big either. But like there was a lot of skepticism. A lot of people are like, why are you doing this? What could this be? Like, is this gonna work? Inclusion team, the rest of my Christy, Tony Shella. They believed, so we did this out of, we did it out of Inclusion's balance sheet, and, you know, but like, there was a lot of skepticism, and so, yeah, it's really cool, that like, we got here, but like, yeah, I kind of wanted to like cement, so I felt like there were a couple of things that were like missing in the Celestia community. One was, I think a lot of people were, you know, there is, and there should be, and there is rightfully so, an enormous amount of enthusiasm for this like modular system that is coming together. There's a lot of really exciting technical work that's being done. And then a lot of people sort of like, you know, like you started building community around all of that enthusiasm. But there was a lack of like, there wasn't like the right hook, right? Like there was just like a kind of a, there was like a missing space where everything was just kind of undifferentiated, right? Like, okay, like I'm staking Tia. Like, okay, there's just like not enough content here. I'm staking Tia. I'm waiting for airdrops. Like, I could chill. Like, I can like listen to podcasts about the latest modular founder and like their project. But it was like kind of like a lack of, there was just like a lack of something that was like really tangible and to like engage with. And so I really felt like that was, and like, you know, I felt, and then there was like a timing thing, like which, you know, Steve and I started working on this in December. But like, it was like, you know, I knew that like, as we started getting into the, we would be right ahead of like the wave of like Celestia native projects, like Astria and Initia and Rollkit and stuff launching. And so that would be like the right time to like give people like something a little bit more, I guess, interactive to like engage with in the community.
Definitely. Yeah. I literally remember Nick tweeting the mint link. It wasn't very well marketed prior. I'll tell you that, Zucky. It was like, it came onto the scene and on purpose, I assume. Nick tweeted it and I was like, it was a Friday night. I think I was having a couple of beers. I was just hanging out. And then I was like, what? What is this? Quickly got up to mint, tweeted about it, sent it to my Telegram group for all the Tia stakers. And then like 5-6 hours later, after a couple more posts from the community, it was just, it was done. It was minted out, but it wasn't like something that people knew about that it was coming, which I think was done well.
Okay. So like one mechanic, again, Stargaze people were very skeptical of the strategy because they're like, nothing like this has ever worked before. You always have to like hype up these things. So One mechanic though that I was like really trying to go for was like, I wanted people to like feel lucky that they minted, right? Like it was just sort of a luck thing. Like you just had to be like on the timing of the mint was determined by the Stargaze team. They're like, we do mints at this time. I'm like,
okay. All the Europe people were asleep, Zaki. They were quite upset. They were like, I'm in Europe.
It was 4 a.m. for me. I was in Korea. It was 4 a.m. I'd been like basically working on this. Like I'd been like clicking on every single sloth, like making sure the metadata was right, fixing bugs, like for like hours, like QAing the whitelist. No one
Thank
had ever
you.
Used it. No one had ever used.
While you were fixing all of those bugs, I was like at a party in New York, like getting totally wasted. And I was like, shit, the mint is like tomorrow. Like, I don't even have my computer. so thank you.
Yeah. So I was sitting in Korea. I was sitting in the Kepler office. I was like clicking on every sloth. I was like QAing the whitelist. It was like 4 a.m. I like finish everything. It's like 3 a.m. And then I'm like, and then I like actually get back to my hotel room and like pass out. And then I got up like an hour or two later and like it was like 20% minted. I was like, is everything working fine? Everything was working fine. I think Nick's tweet and then you posting on your Telegram were like the forcing functions to like kind of accelerate everything. But yeah, I was like, I wanted two feelings. I wanted to provoke an emotional response in the Celestia community. And I wanted that feeling of one, if you did mint, to feel really excited and lucky and like, holy shit, unexpected, like an unexpected good thing happened to me. And then I wanted to create like a vast horde of people who missed out.
Yeah. And the other thing was just one mint per wallet. It kind of, it made it so it was like, damn it, I want more. Like I minted across and I was like, oh, Nick, you were going to say something.
No, I was just going to tell the story from my perspective. So I had heard like rumors about the sloth things, but really had no visibility or like, you know, expectation of when they were going to come or whatever. I loved the concept. And then it was like kind of late in the afternoon, my time, I believe. And all of a sudden, I just see like this tweet shared in one of my chats, and I was like, holy crap, wait, oh my God, the sloths are here. And so I literally immediately just like quote tweeted. It was just like, the sloths are here. That was my initial, you know, emotional reaction. And then I was like, okay, I got a mint like straight away minted. And I ended up just loving the way that my sloth looked. And I was like, fuck yeah, PFP. Right here. And I was just very stoked. I had no idea that I didn't know anything else about it. And then when it like sold out, then I think I went to bed and I woke up the next day and it was like completely minted out. Everyone, there's massive FOMO. And then everyone's like, you know, the floor price was crazy. And I was like, whoa, how did this all happen? Like this came out of nowhere. But it was exciting. And I don't know, I just feel a lot of attachment to the PFPs. And just from like my perspective to reflect on what Zucky was saying about like something missing right in the modular community. I feel to me, you know, NFT collections like this are so critical to sort of forming the identity and the core community of a certain, you know, crypto protocol. And it's because it's something that you can sort of rally around. It's like sort of like something that you can identify with and that you can recognize other people who share your beliefs and share, you know, something in common with you. And it goes deeper. It has like, it has like a right brain sort of like creative component. And that just, I think we should unpack in the, like further in this episode, like all the lore in this loss, but the more that I've gotten to know the collection and all the little Easter eggs that Zucky and SK put in there that are very relevant to at least like Celestia's lore, the more I've just coming to love the collection, aside from just the fact that like the sloths are cute and like, you know, aesthetically pleasing and whatnot. There's just so many layers to it that I think it was like very, very well executed.
Yeah. I mean, the sloths also went up 400x or something from mint. And people were saying in my chat, oh shit, the Celestia founder has a sloth. Like, yo, these are going to be legit. Andy from the Roll-Ups rocking this. He's got a sloth. This is going to be something. And there was like Zaki's behind this. And now it's like Hyperlane, Mitosis, Movement Labs, entire team. And so, you know, like the price is almost like irrelevant in the sense they went from like $10 to like a couple thousand. Like, that's massive gain. But what like drove people even further, Nick, was like seeing you rock it and being like, okay, like if this guy's rocking it, then this can't just be like a NFT mint, which was just another kind of mint, just another collection.
Yeah. And I also think it frankly has to come organically. Like, it's not something that you can, you know, had to come from someone like Zaki and SK. It's not something you can start, you know, from the inside. It has to come from the community natively. And that's what's so beautiful about Sloths to me.
Part of what makes a project like this fun, and when you're at the design stage and you're, you know, deciding like what are all these accessories and everything, you know, a lot of that stuff just comes from things that catch my eye around town or whatever. But then later it's the audience that goes back and like writes their narrative back into the work they see, you know, and you never know what characteristics from this collection or something become fetishized by certain communities or certain subgroups in the communities where people are, they're really into only the guys that are reading magazines or whatever. You know, there's intentionally a lot of stuff in there that people could fall in love with, but it's not like the collection is telling you which of those things are for you. It's like, it's for the audience once they get it, you know, to see, especially like I love when I hear somebody got a random one and like, they just love the way it came together, because that's, like, I didn't design that one. You know, I designed all the pieces, but that one sort of comes out of this, you know, randomized machine, and that it can spit out something that people feel a certain way about is what makes it so cool.
I think that the way SK, like, designed the trait system for the slots is just, like, a level of artistry that is, like, it's slightly invisible. Like, you kind of have to look at the collection as a whole. And, like, I don't even think I, like, fully grasped it until those, like, last 2 days of clicking on every fucking sloth. But I, like, I really, you really got, like, there is this, like, there's this holistic nature to the collection. And, like, you know, I was a huge fan of After the Filter. And that was like one of the reasons why I was just so excited to work with SK, was like, this is, you know, but like that, like there's the artistry of every single sloth. There's the artistry of every single, and I know we're going to like cut in some of the like early pre-work. There was a lot of, iteration on the sloth design. I will take credit. Two-tone faces, my idea. They used to look like Wookiees. They used to look like Wookiees.
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of the process, is you got to throw out a bunch of ideas so that people can look at it together and figure out, you know, what reads and what doesn't read. And, you know, that's how you get to something that hasn't been done already.
Navigating multiple blockchains can be complex and cumbersome. Let's say you want to deposit into a lending market on Polygon because they have the best rates, but you only have funds on Optimism. So you bridge your funds to Polygon only to realize that you need Matic to pay for gas. Maybe you use a centralized exchange or you ask a friend to pay for the gas, but only then can you finish your transaction. In a chain abstracted future powered by Connects, this is not the situation. You can connect your wallet to any dApp from any chain with all the complexities of swapping, bridging, and depositing all completely abstracted behind the scenes. Head over to connects.network, that's connects.network, to learn more about Connects' Chain Abstraction Toolkit.
You were asking why 2,500. I think the most honest answer is it was so much work. Like, 2,500 was a lot of work. I have enormous respect now for, like, Cortland and doing, you know, anyone who does a collection of 10,000. Like, it is so much work.
to do a collection of 10,000. Like it does not scale linearly. It scales exponentially. It gets harder as the numbers go up. But it also kind of gives us a little, like, I think there were other ideas that were there. I didn't really, like, part of the vision of this, like, bad kids are such a, so there's like a, there is a dynamic with bad kids. So first and foremost, I did ask Cortland if he wanted to be part of this project when we started. Cortland was like, I'm too busy. So, like, first and foremost, did not, like, intentionally.
Yeah, sloppy, like, seconds over here.
The second thing was, you know, we've already, you know, there've been a bunch of sort of module related airdrops to bad kids. I didn't want to, like, kind of come, like, I'm still rocking a bad kid PFP. I love my devil. I was a late adopter to bad kids. The community, the Cosmos community, very much bullied me into it. In fact, like, one of the, like, part of the origin story of sloths is, like, I didn't really get NFTs for a long time. I didn't really get Stargaze for a long time. The Cosmos community last year really bullied me into being a user of Stargaze. They're like, Zucky, how can you be part of Cosmos if you don't have a bad kid, if you haven't used Stargaze? And then I put some money into it. I, like, became a Stargaze power user. And then I, like, that sort of was a big, that really inspired me to see that there were, like, just a few features missing from Stargaze that would be, like, that could make it, like, an extraordinary product, like, one of the best just products in crypto. And so, like, getting the, like, large whitelist support in, because that large whitelist support is that feeling of, oh, I only have one address and I can't mint more. And that feeling is like such a powerful feeling, because when you're handing out whitelist spots, just people who engage with you on Twitter or in the Discord or wherever, you know, people are self-selecting and, like, you know, they're like, oh, okay. And, like, they're already forming an impression. Whereas if you have this, like, large whitelist, you get that feeling of, I found a $100 bill on the floor, right? Like, that's that feeling, and that feeling is very powerful. And so really, really, it was like, and being able to harness that feeling, like, the large whitelist thing is a feature of most other NFT platforms. And then the other thing was, like, being able to like, change the mint currency and mint in something other than stars. And I'm very excited for Stargaze's upcoming feature that will let the seller choose what asset the slots or any NFT is denominated in. I think it'll be pretty cool to see the sloth floor price in Tia.
Steve, I was going to ask, like, how much of an inspiration was, like, you mentioned that you weren't, you know, you're, like, the least technical NFT guy. I'm curious, like, how much of an inspiration was, like, Celestia? Like, how familiar were you with it before you started working on the sloths? And, you know, like the lazy ledger, like, what was the lore from your perspective? How much of that translated to almost, like, a non-technical point of view?
I'll say that when we were first discussing, you know, doing the project, I had no idea, zero familiarity with virtually anything except for the small corner of Stargaze stuff. That's really, like, my entire crypto NFT blockchain world is the people that I know through Stargaze. So when I first, you know, spoke to Zaki, I was like, can you just tell me a little bit about what's the story here? And, you know, is there, and I think this is something that sort of happened, that's sort of why you have an NFT project, you know, in your space, is I'm like, what's the story? Like, it doesn't feel super organic, just me looking at the Celestia website. It doesn't give me a vibe for what that community is all about. So talking it through Zaki, like, hearing a little bit of the background, reading some stuff on, you know, Wikipedia about founders and stuff, you know, just sort of getting those ideas in my head. And then I did solicit the the team a little bit just to see, are there specific like references that would be interesting? But for the most part, you know, it's pretty organic, you know, and I think that there's some kind of nods in there to the history, like the CIA hat and stuff that I think are funny, and the people that know, they know why it's there. But, you know, generally it's like you don't want to force it too hard. You want it to be like an organic experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was like one of the things that I think SK and I like really aligned on early, was like, we wanted this thing to be sort of, you know, to like reference, poke fun of Celestia, but not just like be like, oh, like everything is like space themed and, you know, and is like, or is like too, like everything is a reference to some piece of Celestial lore. No, it's just like sprinkled in there, and there's a lot of slots that are just doing stuff. And there's, you know, this incredible, I think, artistic genius that the moment inspiration that Steve, SK had with the fine art inspired slots, which are like really, really cool.
Yeah. Nick, you said that, or you just purchased the Celestial modular astronaut sloth, and the community wants to know if you're going to keep your Lazy Sir or change to your astronaut. And if so, what is the lore behind the astronaut?
That's a great question. I don't know. I was like browsing through the collection, and when I saw that astronaut, sloth, it spoke to me, both because it has the cosmonaut suit, it has like the celestial background, it kind of makes me think of, you know, a sloth who's like out there adventuring, you know, going out and exploring the cosmos and the sort of like Celestia universe. And I do feel like that speaks to me, because that's kind of the journey that I feel that I am on, and, you know, want to bring other people on. And so I naturally just had this like attraction to it, but you know, it's like, so I was like, I want to have this sloth. And so I bought it. But in the meantime, it's funny because my original sloth that I minted really grew on me. And there's just something about it. Like, I like his face, the way he looks extremely lazy and kind of just like, you know, like his eyes are squinting. And he just has swag. I don't know how else to say it, but it's just I don't know. I lucked out, I think, on the mint and got a sloth that also really speaks to me. And so in some ways, I'm kind of like, now I'm not really sure. I think actually I might end up just sticking with my original sloth. And so who knows what I'll do with the celestial sloth, but maybe I'll gift it to someone who, you know, will rock it and who really like deserves it. But I haven't really made up my mind yet on what to do with it.
Nice. Yeah, we just changed our picture on the roll-up to a sloth. And it's quite funny because we minted that exact one on the account, which we have for the roll-up. And then the one that I minted on my personal account is much more like of a clown with like the jester and the hat coming off and things. And I don't know, it was just kind of magical how the one that we have almost is like chill and kind of fits in a way as a placeholder and what we have. The one that I have is much more just like out there. Kind of speaking on that, another community question that we have, and maybe Zucky and Steve can kind of shed some light. I know Nick's been talking about this too, is these modular bodies. People are asking to see their bodies of their sloth. I know it's difficult to kind of make a whole thing, and you guys spent a lot of time, but what do you guys think about modular sloth bodies?
I think it's not impossible to do something like that. I think you just got to be really delicate with the way you're working with, you know, what's become like a project that people are really attached to in its current state. And for me, I think the idea of modularity in the NFTs is really exciting. Probably the exciting enough that you would design a project around that concept rather than going back and trying to shoehorn it into something that people already love. But I don't know. See what happens.
How do you feel about modular bodies? Is that kind of accurate, or is there something else that you're thinking?
So I would basically say I think that there's a, like, I'm very aligned with
expanding and extending like what the sloths are doing out into like the modular world in general, right? Like, and so I want people to have new, like be able to drive like new experiences with their sloths as like more modular projects launch. Some ideas that have like floated out there is like, you know, like a roll up that has like a generative art component, right? So you could like walk your sloth and then could like feed into a AI algorithm that would like make a derivative. You know, but like the other thing is, you know, I'm very committed to this idea of like, this is designed to be like a long-term association with an affiliation with the modular ecosystem and with Celestia. You know, I've been involved in Celestia for 5 years. I'm not planning on that isn't something with a time limit. I'm planning on working on this project for a long time. And so, you know, this isn't like a short-term, oh, like let's expand the collection, take advantage of the demand. Like you're not going to, there's not going to be a mutant slots collection. There's, you know, like something that just like, you know, is immediately caters to the.
Right. Well, there probably will be, but it'll be like a shitty AI collection that somebody probably already put out.
Yeah. There.
Are you also shooting down the idea of a sloth token? The community needs to know.
I think that there are, I think meme coins are great, are a dual to NFTs in a lot of ways. And I think, and so I, you know, I don't know that there will be one sloth token or more than one sloth token or zero sloth tokens. No one really knows. I think it like depends on a lot of variables around how the modular ecosystem evolves. And certainly not, I'm not the only, I will just say like, you know, a bunch of people tried to like issue sloth tokens, just sort of, immediately after the, you know, in the initial wave of hype. And I was not enthusiastic about any of those efforts. Like you gotta, if you're gonna issue a sloth, like anything sloth related, it's gotta have some like tie into modular, like new modular technology. It has to have, you know, airdrops to sloths holders, sloth and sloth stakers. Like it has to like bring the community with it. It's just like not enough to just like kind of like, you know, ride the meme. And so these things do take, they take time and effort and care as the sloths did. To get this far. And so, you know, that's like a pretty key component.
I just want to add like some other potential extensions of like sloths from just the NFT starting point. I'm excited about, or aside from like modular bodies and maybe sloth coin, is like sloth chain, which, you know, I tweeted about as a joke of like this really slow blockchain. And then like some people actually like, who was, I think Sam Hart was like, oh, this actually has utility. I don't know what sloth chain could or would be, but you know, it's also something that Zaki has been sort of like telling me about, is this idea of like meme chains as an extension of meme coins. And I feel like that's a really interesting thing to potentially explore. And another one that could be interesting is sloth sticker NFTs. You know, there's this new project called Sofamon that does like these customizable sticker NFTs. And for now it's like just rabbits, but maybe in the future they would expand it to have like other, you know, animals or characters, and sloths could be one of them. And it'd be fun if you could like, you know, have sloth stickers in Telegram chats and like customize them with the modular bodies or whatever, so, like that. I think there's just so many different ways that this can be like extended.
I've been thinking a lot about like, what do I anticipate like crypto looks like now? Like we've had this like meme coin boom. And like one of the things that I've experienced with that sloths have really been like a formative experience for me about is the relationship between like content and infrastructure. So sloths could never have happened, and like the general infrastructure of the space could never, like sloths could never have happened, meme coin boom could never have happened without like all of the infrastructure work that Solana, Optimism, Skip, you know, Celestia, Cosmos, the IBC teams, like all like Osmosis, all put in to like make all of this possible, right? So there's like a huge amount of infrastructure that is being built in. But I think that going forward, a lot more of the content that is like why people are going to use those infrastructure, what's going to drive the trading volume, all of that stuff, is going to be a lot more of like sort of intellectual, like sort of like intellectual property based. Like it'll be like narrative content, like vibes, right? And it'll be less, you know, we have and it'll be less the story of, okay, like we gotta, you know, get, you know, go after all of these pieces, right? So yeah, I mean, I think that's I think the logical thing to do with an infrastructure that makes it low cost and easy to build blockchains is you're going to have sort of a, like these like sort of cinematic universes that get constructed around like content. And I think you're starting to see that with like DGEN, the L3 on Base. And I think as the Celestia ecosystem gets built out, like you will have these like very serious infrastructural projects that do things like real world assets and stable coins, indexes and stuff like that, and lending and all of these primitives. And then you'll also have a lot of like just sort of things that are just like sort of pure content.
Okay. And then this is potentially like the convergence where meme coins or like the memes themselves just take on a new form. And so like a lot of what goes on now in the infrastructure world is kind of like the infrastructure for some of these stories to tell themselves. And so we have like all of these different chains. These will end up like enabling some more projects to like tell their stories and like allow some of this intellectual property to flourish. Whereas before that might have lived in kind of like a different world, whether it be off chain or elsewhere. Like now that we have the infrastructure to kind of tell those stories, we'll start to see those evolve and play out. And like maybe they'll kind of copy a lot of the same infrastructural components. Like we'll get the same decks, and it's just another, you know, whether it's a Uniswap V2 fork on one chain or the other, it'll look very different because we'll kind of like wrap it in these different storylines, and that'll resonate with different communities.
Yeah, exactly. Like because I think people will want more to do with their content, their memes, their NFTs. They will want new interactions. And like that's why, and I think chains will emerge around that, and it will be glorious.
Yeah, I think that's part of the rise to being what is so called like a blue chip. Another community question that we had was like, how did Sloths go from being just kind of a new mint to a blue chip so quickly, if you will? Which I think blue chip's kind of a meme. And then kind of where do you go from here to kind of like establish that further? And we talked about, you know, all these different possibilities. And people kind of brought up Pudgy Penguin's IP and just kind of like where does the Sloth IP and lore go from here? And I think it's kind of unbounded and limitless from what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the glorious thing about like being on chain is that there's like so many ways of extending and evolving and growing all of this.
Amazing. Guys, thank you for coming on and chatting Sloths. Just five grown men speaking about Sloths on a blockchain. You really love to see it. And I think that this has been, it's been a good thing for the modular community. It's something that really kind of brought the community together, not just like the people who are kind of like, what's going on, but it really brought those people up to speed, gave them a chance to kind of be a part of this. And I think that, yeah, I mean, we might look back in this video in a year and be like, damn, that was a pretty fun time. And Sloths could be in a whole different set of parts within the modular ecosystem, as well as a broader part of the upcoming launches. So again, thanks guys for coming on, and props to you, Zucky and team, for a successful launch.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Nice to meet everybody
out there.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.